Hymn book. There's ones up here if you need one. Number 32. What can wash away? I need a volunteer to help hand out fruit snacks. Go ahead. You can hand out fruit snacks. You have to be able to open the packages and hand them out individually because I don't have enough for a package for everyone. But the way we're going to do this is if you would like to call a song, then you raise your hand and you need to say the verse. And then you can call your song. And you'll get a fruit snack if you do that. I like fruit snacks. I hope you all like fruit snacks. They're gluten-free and all that stuff. So they're a good candy for this kind of a thing. All right. So you have to say the verse, and then you can call a song. And the song does not have to be on here. I encourage action songs, you know, like Running Over or Wide Wide the Ocean. Whatever song you would like, as long as we know it, we'll sing it.
Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come after 3:7?
Very good. Number 16. Thank you very much. All right. And I'm going to let somebody else start these songs if they don't mind. Number 16.
Forever, never.
Good job. All right, what's the song you'd like? What's that? 13. Okay, very good. Number 13. And let's just do first verse and chorus so we can get more songs in. So in this one, let's do first verse, okay? Number 13, first verse. What song would you like? Number 39. Songs are hard to sing only one verse of, and that's a very nice song. Who else has one? Go ahead.
The last part, you to flee from the wrath to come. Matthew 3:7. 11.
Number 11. Is it 11 in this one? Okay. Will your anchor hold? Let's sing first verse and chorus of number 11. Will your anchor hold?
Thank you.
All right. We're saying this verse, and I thought it would be good to do a little explanation of this verse, because we don't use the word flee unless we're referring to pesky bugs very often. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And so I need a couple of volunteers. The first volunteer needs to be the wrath to come. Who's willing to be the wrath to come for us today? All right, we have one, two volunteers? Okay, you can come on up. You want to be the wrath to come today? Well, I have a scary-looking rake, which I picked up from over there, which I think will add to your character slightly. So you can hold on to the rake. All right, you're the wrath to come, all right? You have to look kind of fierce if you can manage that, to be wrath. All right. Now, I'd like two boys and two girls as volunteers as well. Okay, yeah, you can come on up. And something I haven't picked. You can come on up. And, yep, you can come up. Let's see. We need another boy. Come on, boys. All right, come on up, Robert. Okay, so the verse says, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, okay? I don't know who's... That's yours? Okay, there you go. So, do you guys know what it means to flee? What do you think it means? Go ahead. To run away. That's what it means to flee. All right, so this is the wrath to come. You guys can stand here and try not to crash into anything. But when I say go, I want you to show everybody in the room what it looks like to flee from the wrath to come. All right, ready? Go. Okay, we have some flares and some not. All right, come on back. Come on back. Wrath to come is aggressive. Come on back. All right, all my volunteers, come here. You come on over here. All right. Yeah, come on over here. And this time I want you to just stand. And you don't need to come this time, but I want you to just stand over here. Can you come stand over here and hold it? And you guys stay there. All right, so this time, the wrath to come is a little bit away from you, okay? You understand that? That it's the wrath to come. In other words, it's not the wrath you're experiencing right now, but it's wrath that's going to come. Now, the wrath to come is a little distance away, but the instruction is still to run from the wrath to come, even though it's a little ways away. So you guys think you can do that again? All right, and we had to have some better running here because that wasn't the best description of fleeing, and I know you guys can run faster than that. So don't crash into anything, but when you're ready, that's the wrath to come. You stay there, okay? Stay there. No, you can leave your sandals on. All right, ready? Flee. Don't crash into the stroller. Thank you. All right, that's enough. Okay, thank you very much. You can all have a fruit snack and sit down. Well, I hope you guys understand. Oh, you got somebody's hat. I hope you guys understand a little bit what it is to flee. Is this yours? To flee from the wrath to come. So when it says flee, it means run. Okay? And the wrath to come is not wrath. What's wrath? Can someone define wrath for me? Get the same volunteers each time. Go ahead. Anger. Wrath. Anger. It's he gets a fruit snack over here. Wrath is fury. It's anger. It's punishment in this particular case. Now, the verse itself is in the context of a man named John the Baptist. And he's talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he's baptizing them for repentance. And he's baptizing all these people, and they're coming, and they're confessing their sins, and he's baptizing them. And then he starts seeing Pharisees and Sadducees come. And these are like the leaders of the government in Israel. And he turns to them, and he says, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And that's what he says, okay? For us today, we have someone also who has warned us to flee from the wrath to come. And I'd like to define wrath to come. Who can tell me what we should understand as the wrath to come? All right, Vivi, yeah. Satan, not really. Eternal punishment, hell. So if you were here last night, who was here last night for the gospel meeting? Raise your hand. Okay, most of you were here. Then you heard Mr. Tony give a very sober description of hell and of the lake of fire. Remember how he talked about being cast? It's like you don't want to go there, but you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Remember that? That's hell. That's what you guys should understand as the wrath to come. So somebody has warned you and said, run. Run from hell. Okay? Now you cannot run from hell in a physical sense. Okay? You can't run anywhere and get away from hell in a physical sense, but you can run away from hell in a spiritual sense. And somebody here, tell me, how do you run from hell? You put your faith and your trust in God. That's exactly right. You repent and you put your faith and trust in God. Yeah. That's very good. Okay. So hopefully we understand a little bit more about this verse. And it says, flee from the wrath to come. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how you flee. You run from hell. All right. Who's got another song? Yeah. Okay. You say your verse? From the wrath. Yep, good job. Matthew 3:7. What song would you like? Number 9? All right, let's sing number 9.
Yeah. Matthew 3:7.
Good job. What song would you like? Number 5. All right, anybody else? I'm supposed to be using this, I forgot. Go ahead.
Matthew 3:7. Warn you to flee from the wrath to come. Matthew 3:7.
Good job. What song would you like? Number 6.
To flee from the wrath to come, Matthew 3:7.
Nice job. What song would you like? Number 10? In here? Okay. Number 10.
Matthew 3:11. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:11.
Yep. Very good. What song did you like? What song did you like? Number 8, is that in this? Okay, number 8. That's the last one that we're going to do with a song. But if anybody would like to just say the verse, you have an opportunity now. So if you would like to, I'll just start down at this end, and whoever wants to say it can say it.
Matthew 3:7.
Who?
Hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Good job. And they should have a fruit snack.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Very nice.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Very good.
Who hath warned you from the
to flee
from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Who hath wanted to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Matthew 3:7. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
Matthew 3:7.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Matthew 3:7. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Matthew 3:7. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
Good.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Matthew 3:7. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
Very nice.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Nice.
Back wall. Thank you.
Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 4:37. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Alright, anybody else? Yes.
Matthew 3:7. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Very good.
Matthew 3:7, who have warned you from the wrath to come. Matthew 3:7.
I get you too.
Matthew 3:7. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:6-7.
Good. Very good. That's the whole verse.
Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
Matthew 3:7.
Matthew 3:7.
All right. Make sure I don't miss anyone. What's that? Oh. What's that? Okay. All right. I guess he needs a fruit snack. Anybody else? All right. Well, very good. Thank you all for being brave and saying that. I appreciate it. What I want to talk about now, in these last 15 minutes here, is I want to talk about, so you guys are all kids, right? Up here in the front row. And the person who primarily says that to you is the Lord Jesus, right? The Lord Jesus tells you, I want you to run away from the wrath to come. I do not want you to go to hell. I want you to run away from the wrath to come. So I'd like to talk about the Lord Jesus and children, okay? And I have a challenge for you guys. And I think we have enough here. You can have an entire bag of fruit snacks, not an individual, but a bag. You come up and get it. You can have a fruit snack yourself, by the way. Thank you very much for your help. That should be all. You can have an entire bag if you can tell me one of the events in which the Lord Jesus either healed or in some way interacted with a child. Okay? I've gone through, I've counted 10, and I'm hoping that, well, I'm not hoping I missed any, but it's possible I missed some. So I know there's at least 10. So we'll start at the youngest to give them a chance, and we'll kind of work our way up. So is there anybody who's 3 who thinks that they know of a time when the Lord Jesus either healed or interacted with a child, someone young? Anybody who's 3? Okay. Anybody who's 4 and thinks they know of an event? You think you know one? All right. Which one can you think of? Let me grab this. Which time can you think of that the Lord Jesus interacted with a child? You can't think of any? No, that's all right. Okay, anybody who is 5, or did you have one? Yeah, okay. When did the Lord, can you think of a time when the Lord Jesus interacted with a child?
It's kind of hard, isn't it?
Yeah, that's okay. All right, anybody who's 5? Anybody who's 5? We're going to start getting into it here. Okay, yes. What's the time the Lord Jesus interacted with a child? Having trouble? That's okay. All right. Anybody who, you got one? Are you 5? Are you 6?
7.
You're 7. You got a whole nother age to go. All right. Anybody who's 6 who thinks they know of a time when the Lord interacted with a child? Boy, we're coming up dry here. I think we're going to get to you. Okay, yeah.
You're 7?
Okay, so you're kind of getting, this is called pre-ordering. Okay. All right, let's go to 7 then. So we'll start with you. Number 7. What's the time you can think of?
When the kid came up to the Lord Jesus when there was no bread and, like, no food, and then the kid gave him, like, 3 loaves of bread. And
you got it. That's one of them that I had. So I'm just going to call that number 1. We're going to call it the lad with the bread. Okay. And you had one. It was hopefully a different one. It has to be a different one. Can you think of one?
When Jesus said that the little girl was sleeping, and then they all laughed, and then he woke her up.
Yeah, that's a good one. So that is Jairus' daughter, I believe is what you're talking about. So Jairus had come to the Lord, and the Lord was busy, wasn't he? And he was talking to people, and Jairus said, "Please, my daughter is sick and at the point of death, will you come and heal her?" And the Lord Jesus says, "All right, I'll come." And then he starts on his way, and he gets interrupted, right, by the woman who has the issue of blood. And so he stops. And then this messenger comes, and he says, "Jairus, your daughter she died." And it was so sad. And the Lord looks at Jairus and he says, "Only believe, only believe." And he goes on and he goes into the room. And like you said, people were kind of laughing because the Lord Jesus said, "She's not dead, she's only asleep." And they all laughed at him. And he said, "Everybody needs to leave." And they all left and he went up into the room, right? And who knows what he said to her? He said some special thing. Does anybody know? What did he say? Yeah, okay, I think, yeah, that's, he said, "Get up," that's right, and he took her by the hand, and she rose, yeah, that's fine, and she was healed. Now, do you think that the Lord Jesus cared about that little girl, Jairus' daughter? Yeah, he went way out of his way, even after she had, according to everybody, died, to heal her. He loved that little girl, didn't he? Went all that way to heal her. So we're going to call this one Jairus' daughter. Oops. Hopefully you all can read that. Okay. Another one. Who's seven? Somebody who's seven and can think of another instance. Okay. I'll start with you.
When the Lord Jesus took all the children that the parents brought to him?
That's a very good one. So if you remember this account, the parents, some mothers, I believe it was, they brought their children to the Lord. And the Lord Jesus was teaching people, and he was busy. And the disciples kind of were around the Lord, and these mothers came up to a couple of disciples, and they said, "Can we take our children to the Lord? We want the Lord to bless these children." And the disciples said, no, he's way too busy for that. You cannot take those children to the Lord. You see that he's very busy. And this is one instance where it says that the Lord Jesus was very displeased with his disciples, and he rebuked them, and he said, "Let the little children come to me." And they brought the children to the Lord, and he stopped what he was doing, and he took the time to take those children and bless them. So we're going to call this blessing the children. There may be two instances of this, or maybe just one. I think there's just one, so I'm going to list it this way. So that's very good. Do you think that the Lord Jesus cared about those children? He did. He took time out of his day to let those children come to him and made sure that his disciples knew that they were not to keep children away from the Lord. He cared about those children very much. All right, anybody else? You had one, I think. Unless it was the same one.
When he healed the blind man.
When he healed the blind man?
Well, the blind man was a...
was grown up, actually, at that point. Oh, there's several blind men that he healed, but are you thinking of something different? Different healing? Do you have one?
When he was preaching?
He cared about the children when he was preaching, didn't he?
When Elijah healed the widow woman's boy.
Yes, that's a
very good one. That wasn't the Lord Jesus, but that also shows the care of the Lord. All right, do you have one?
When Jesus was preaching, there were a whole bunch of people, and He said, "Who has something to eat?" And then a little boy came with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And then each time the disciples came back, there were more baskets.
That's very good. Yes, that is exactly right. The little lad came up, and he had all of the food, and the Lord used that food, didn't he? We have that one already. Let's move up an age group. If you are between 8 and 10, and you think that you know one that isn't on this list, go ahead and you can tell me. We've got to speed up.
When Jesus called the little child to them and said to his disciples, unless you become as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Very, very good. I was hoping we would get to that one. All right, we're going to call this one the setting the child in the midst. I'm going to tell this story. So, this is Matthew 18, verse 2. The Lord Jesus, the disciples had come to the Lord, and they said, "We want to know who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." They said, "You have a kingdom, you're going to be the king, and we would like to know who's going to be the really important people in your kingdom. Is it going to be Peter or Andrew? Surely it'll be one of us, Lord, but tell us who. Who's going to be the really important people in your kingdom?" And the Lord Jesus called this little child to himself, and he set him in the midst, and I should probably just read what he said. It looks like we're not going to make it through all of these because our time is about out. So I'll just read this, though. Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, there's an interesting thing that happens. I believe that these are different events. So I'm going to read now from Mark 9:33. If you're following along, I believe this is a separate event, but it's about like the next day because it happened around the same time. The disciples, the next day, let's say, or sometime very shortly after, they get arguing. And they start arguing about this. The Lord Jesus had said, whoever is going to receive these little children, he's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so they get arguing, and maybe Andrew says, "Well, I've received more children than you have, Peter." And Peter says, no, I've definitely received more children than you. I'm going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And they get talking about this. And they're arguing about it as they're walking along. And they get to the house where they're going. And in Mark 9:33, he says, he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" He said, "What were you arguing about?" But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive one such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." So he says, "Do you want to know who's going to be the greatest in my kingdom?" And he sits down, he takes this child up in his arms. And he says, "If you have this heart where you love these little children and you will receive them, that's who's going to be the greatest. The one of you that's out there that's trying to be great and just look out for themselves," says, "you're going to be the lowest. But this one that will take these children in his arms, you're going to be the greatest." Do you think the Lord Jesus cared about children? What do you think? He cared about those children, didn't he? And he wanted to make sure that his disciples knew that he cared about children and that his disciples cared about children too. Okay? Now, that's kind of all we have time for. I'll just list off the other ones that we didn't get to. Because I wrote them down, at least the ones that I have. There was the boy that would cast himself into the fire. Remember that? We're not going to do anymore. And the father came and said, "Please heal my child." And the Lord healed him. and was grieved that such a young child had a demon within him. He says, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" It grieved him that that child had a demon within him, such a young child. And there's the time when the Lord's in the temple and the children are shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest," or "Hosanna to the Lord," I can't remember. And the Pharisees come to the Lord and they say, "You should make those children stop." And the Lord says, "No, they're doing a right thing and they're praising." The Lord defends them. The woman of Canaan's daughter was healed. Remember, she came to the Lord and she said, "Please, will you heal my daughter?" And the Lord heals her. There's a nobleman whose daughter he heals. And then last one that I had, and maybe there's others I missed. There was he was coming up to a city, right? To a town. You kind of imagine on a road, you're walking towards a town. And here coming out of the town towards him is this procession. And there's a bier, which is it would have been carried on poles, and would have been a bunch of wood, and then there's a body up on top of this bier. And they're all walking out, and they're walking towards the Lord, and as he comes up to it, and as they start to pass each other, he sees that it's a little boy that's up on top of this bier. And there's the boy's mother, who is a widow, who is weeping. And he stops the whole procession. He says, "Everybody stop." And he heals that boy and delivers him back to his mother. Do you think that the Lord cared about children? Do you think that the Lord loves children? Do you think that the Lord loves you? The Lord loves you very, very much. And he has instructed each one of us who are believers to love you in that same way as well. And that's why we have meetings like this. We didn't get through the 10, but I hope that it's enough to show you that the Lord Jesus loves you. And it's because he loves you that he tells you to flee from the wrath to come. Because he does not want you to go there. He wants you to be with him. He wants to take you in his arms like he did on that child, with that child. He wants to bless you like he did with those infants. That's what the Lord Jesus wants. And so he warns you, flee from the wrath to come. And the way he does that, or the way you do that, is by believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus.